Taped from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds. It's the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And together, we are the SNL Nerds.
Yes.
We're
like
gonna...
the Wonder Twins of SNL.
That's right. Wonder Twin powers activate. Form of a nerd who knows way too much about Saturday Night Live instead of interacting with people in his actual life.
Ditto.
Yes. Except you say shape of.
Shape of right. What you said.
Yeah. And yeah. We have a little monkey who carries around a bucket.
Yes, of course.
That's just for us.
Yeah. That's for our pleasure.
So, how you been doing?
Not bad. Hey, you know, living a life, chasing a dream.
But still settling into 2009.
Yeah.
Or 2019.
Wait, 2009?
I'm settling into 2009.
We went back.
That's how far behind I am on things.
I'm still... You got some bad news coming when 2016 rolls around. I don't want to tell you.
Oh, okay. Well, I wonder what that's about.
Oh, you'll see.
Okay. Yes, I'm still settling into 2019. I haven't said that aloud too much. Wow.
Still settling into 29 on your checks. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
There was a joke there. I fucked up. Sorry.
This is going to go great.
Oof.
Saturday Night Live is off again this week. So, as we do on the skip weeks, we're doing a theme show. And this week, we're going to talk about people who were cast members on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
But who became more famous after they did the show.
Right. It does happen.
Who, for one reason or another, they didn't really hit or they didn't really last long on the show.
Mm.
But then later, they exploded into the superstars that they are today. Yeah.
Explosions.
But before we get into that, we're going to talk a little. We've been like out interacting on the interwebs.
Yeah, we're out there on the internet.
Yes,
internet sphere.
Yes. Darren he went on Twitter. He tagged a bunch of other Saturday Night Live podcasts, and
yes,
we've gone back and forth with them a little bit.
I've annoyed many people.
Yes.
And they seem to be responsive. I've gotten cease and desist.
Yeah.
But for those who haven't done that, I've become very friendly with like a lot of other good SNL podcasts, one of which SNL After Party.
Yes. Yeah.
The good people out there.
But it's regularly hosted by a couple of guys named John and Steve.
Yes.
Hey,
guys.
Hey. We've been listening to their episodes. We've been enjoying that show. They also have another couple guys who come on, and they do monthly recaps.
Yes.
SNL. Yeah, I believe it was Mike and Miguel. Am I getting that right?
Yes. Mario Lanza.
I didn't get that right at all then.
And Mike Bloom.
Okay,
no,
I was half right. I'm sorry, Mario. I don't know why I imprinted your name as Miguel.
It's an M name. It's in the zeitgeist.
It's in the zeitgeist. We listen to their show. It's an enjoyable show.
The last episode, it was the month they did all the shows, all the episodes that came out in December. It's really
mm-hmm,
very
mm-hmm.
comprehensive episode.
I did discover that Mike and Mario they have a difference of opinion with us.
They do.
On one particular cast member, which I was surprised to hear. And
I was listening
to the episode, and I texted you, and you're like, I'm listening too. And
I clutched my pearls. I was in shock and awe. I dropped my dish. I heard a record scratch.
I did one of those. We became like Margaret Dumont in the Marx Brothers.
I fainted on a nearby couch, fanning myself.
We got our smelling salts.
They
said that they are not particularly fans of Cecily Strong
and
on the show anymore.
That's not correct.
That seems so wrong to me.
I feel like telling them like Leslie Jones and at Weezer scare. It's like, oh, you're just dumb.
Yeah, yeah. No offense, but drink our blood.
Oh, geez.
Quote Mr. Matt Damon in the Weezer sketch.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. All right, I see what you did there.
Mm.
I
call back.
There you go. But yeah, I mean Cecily.
She is a delight.
Yeah,
and I will not hear otherwise. I don't know if we're officially feuding with you now.
Yeah.
But
shots fired, as the kids say.
But we take issue. We take umbrage.
Umbrage.
Are taking umbrage.
I mean, I'm trying to see if I can see their point. And I've looked at it from every angle. I really can't.
Well, they were saying that they thought that Cecily had been on the show like a little too long, and they were, I guess they feel like they've seen everything in her bag of tricks. And I've certainly felt that way about certain other cast members.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to say I feel that way about Kenan more often than not.
Oh, wow.
Just because Kenan's been on the show a long, long time.
He's been on it for a minute.
And he's,
like a decade, right?
He's, I think at least. Since like the Paleozoic era, I think.
Yes.
And, you know, not that he's not good, but it's just you... you know, part of the strength of the show is that it turns over the cast.
Yeah, rotates the...
And, you know, people come in, people come out. Some people stay longer than others.
Yeah.
And I feel like after 6-7 years, you've probably seen...
all they can do.
All they can do. And Cecily's been on the show for at least that long, but...
Has it been that long?
It has.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that.
She's been on for quite a while.
Huh. All right. I didn't even notice that.
I don't know, but...
But, I mean, I still think she's a very strong performer.
But we are not sick of her.
No. I think she's good. I think she's solid. I think a lot of times, like, with cast members, you need, like, those cast members that, like, maybe aren't, like, you know, in the spotlight type of... You know, the main attraction, but, like,
yeah.
You know, like, one of those...
good supporting players.
Yeah, supporting players. I think Cecily Strong's a very strong supporting player.
I think she's more than that. I mean, I think she's one of the people who's like carrying the show
right now with
Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, because there is one thing that they did say that I kind of agree. I forget which one said it, but it said like, as far as the cast now, they don't think it was very strong.
Yeah.
But they do admit that the female cast members are stronger than the male cast members right
it's
now.
It's definitely
I'll
more
give
about
them,
the female cast members
yeah.
these days. Yeah,
I'll give them that because they're talking about how like they keep pushing Mikey Day up more and more. And he's not quite
the leading guy that, like, say, Bill Hader or Taron Killam or Jason Sudeikis was.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not, like, carrying the show to the degree that those guys did.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the cast now, like, the women are definitely stronger than the men on today's cast, cast, but... I mean, I will agree with
not
them on
that. Not that it's a competition.
It's not. We're all in the same gang. We're all equal.
But if it was, the women would be winning.
Yeah.
That's all we're saying.
And dudes, we can't have that, man. He said jokingly. Right.
I
didn't want to turn into like a no ma'am.
Yeah, you went a little Al Bundy there for
a minute. I did.
But I mean, it's just this one thing that we disagree with them on, and we have a respectable disagreement. We really enjoyed the show, and it's a good show. It's slickly produced.
Yeah, it's a great podcast.
They have a similar format to us. They don't go on quite as many tangents as we do.
No, we go off the rails numerous times.
Yeah, I mean, and whether that's a plus or a minus, I don't know.
That's up to you.
We encourage you guys to check them out. They've been around for a while. It's SNL After Party.
Yes, and another one we became good friends with, That Week in SNL.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's interesting format too because they just choose random episodes, dude.
Yeah, they bounce around.
They bounce around all over the place. Here, let me see if I can pull it up. Like one time they'll do an episode that came out a couple of months ago, and the next time they'll do an episode that came out years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like there's this one episode they did that was from '82, and then the next one would be from like 2005 or something.
Uh-huh. And who are the hosts on there? I don't.
Let me find out. It doesn't say here.
Yeah, this is one of the podcasts I haven't had a chance to sample yet, but I will make a point of doing that soon.
Yeah, yeah, but it's good stuff. I can't find who hosts it, but whoever hosts it, they're great.
Okay. let me see if I can find it.
Their name's not on here at all.
Oh, it's not?
I don't see it anywhere. But we're huge fans, and you're fantastic people. But
sounds convincing.
Yes. Well, yeah. But it's a great podcast. If you're an SNL nerd and you follow us, go follow them.
Yeah.
That Week in SNL. You can find them on Twitter. That Week in SNL.
And through these podcasts, I think it was through the SNL After Party, we became Twitter friends.
Yes.
Our Twitter followers with. Someone who is a sibling of a cast member.
Yeah, we did.
Ms. Heidi Gardner's brother
Justin.
Justin Gardner.
Yeah, he's on it. He's active.
He's on it. He's active. He was very nice. He followed. He gave both of us a follow.
Yeah,
we're nice of him. We don't know if he's listening yet, but
he might be.
But
fingers crossed. And yeah, he's a good dude, solid dude. We're practically family.
But Justin, we're big fans of your sister. We should think she's killing it on the show.
Yeah, she's
and we look forward to seeing what she brings in the future.
Yeah, she's a strong cast member, and we look forward to what she does in the future.
Yeah.
She's good stuff.
Yep, yep, yep. And thanks very much for the follow, you guys. We appreciate it. And,
thank you, you know, yes.
We hope these friendships continue.
Yes, bloom so, and blossom.
Yes.
Like a rose in the spring.
Yes, and we haven't gotten any more reviews on iTunes that I've seen
I don't
lately.
Believe so, no.
But we did get some mentions on Twitter. There was SNL polls, which is polls_SNL.
Yeah, check them
on
out.
Twitter. They said, Darren Credible has a new podcast about SNL, and it's pretty good. Give it a listen. And then they gave us a link, which was very nice.
Pretty good. That's better than great.
That's pretty good. Pretty good.
It's not better than great, but it's close to great.
Yeah, it's just this side. It's a good solid B-, I would say.
That's what I go for.
That's right. And then Carmille Pretz, who is at Carmel. I don't know if I'm pronouncing your name correctly. It's CARMELLE25.
Yeah.
She retweeted that, and she said, SNL Nerds is my new favorite SNL podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I wasn't expecting them to know that much about Weezer.
Oh.
But wow.
Forget it. Yeah.
Whether they integrate Weezer into every episode or not, I fully endorse this product and or service.
We may put a little Weezer in every episode, but we probably won't.
I mean, I think whenever the musical guest is alien to us,
yes,
we may just be like, let's talk about Weezer instead.
Yeah. Now the Blue Album. Let's Surf Wax America. Your thoughts.
let's unpack the sweater song.
Oh God! Okay. Oh, don't even joke about it, because I will unpack the sweater. Don't even joke
so
about
we
that.
We are ready to go into Weezer at a moment's notice,
at the drop of a hat.
At the drop of a hat, just throw it out there to us.
Just at the ready.
But we're very happy to get those. So yeah, please keep those coming. Let us know what you think of the show.
Yeah,
and, you know, let us know what you're responding to, what you like, what you don't like.
Use the hashtag SNL Nerds. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Darren Credible, D-A-R-I-N Credible.
Mm-hmm. And I'm at Trumbull Comic.
Yeah. So follow us.
Follow
hit us
there.
Up.
We also have a page on Facebook that's just SNL Nerds.
Yeah, please.
You do a search on SNL Nerds. We try to post things there every week.
Yeah, spread the word. Help us out.
So,
and the like.
And, you know, we had a couple of corrections, too.
What?
My college roommate, Scott,
impossible.
I know. My college roommate,
we're
Scott.
We're a flawless machine. How dare you tell your college friend.
Yeah. My college roommate, Scott. Hi, Scott. He listens to the show. He told me when we were talking about Weezer, and I mentioned that there was the campaign to get them to do the cover of Africa.
Yeah.
And oh, I said okay. There was some guy who started, right. And apparently it was a young lady. Who started?
Oh, see, I didn't know
who is like on the young side.
Okay,
and I don't have her name because that would require me like doing effort and research and all that.
And giving credit to a lady, which you don't do.
I am
heteronormatively
opposed to that.
That's right. No, ma'am.
But we just wanted to make that point.
Yes, it was.
And your sister Melanie corrected me on something.
Oh,
on
yeah,
the SNL Nerds page, and I can't remember what it was right now.
We'll find it, and we'll
let's see if we can find that.
Let's do it.
Let's see.
This is a good podcast.
I know. Well, I had the other thing all set up to read, so now I'm not. Where am I?
Frank, just cut all this out.
Yeah.
Just work your magic.
Okay. SNL Nerds. I'm on the page.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
The Weezer cover for Africa. It was started by a 14-year-old named Mary.
Okay.
And
okay. Is that what?
That's what
Melanie
that's what
corrected me on.
No.
Or is that what Scott corrected me?
I think
on?
That's what Scott corrected you. He said it was a. Yeah. He said it was
oh, you know,
a girl.
I just remembered something else that Scott said. He said when we were talking about the Game of Thrones sketch that Jason Momoa did, and you and I were both a little out to sea on that because neither one of us watched the show.
Right.
He said that we did okay considering we don't watch the show. We weren't too terribly far off.
Yes.
On it, so
yeah, I just found out that Jason Momoa actually was on Game of Thrones.
You didn't know that?
No, I truly did not. Like, yeah. Because like we did, you know, when we did our episode, and then
he played Khal Drogo.
Yes, and I didn't. I had no idea because that's how ignorant I am of Game of Thrones. But my wife is really starting to get into it, and then you know she was watching, and I was walking by. I was like, oh hey, isn't that the Momoa dude in Aquaman? And he's like, oh yeah, he's on. He was on the show before he got, you know, spoiler, he got killed off. And it's like, huh? Oh, so that's what they were doing on that SNL sketch. Okay, okay. Now I got it.
Okay, I found what your sister Melanie corrected me on. I was talking about when we were doing the Christmas episode. And Steve Martin had that monologue, and he talked about having the 31-day orgasm that was brought to him slowly by Rosanna Arquette and that model named Paulina.
Yeah.
That I realized he was talking about Paulina Porizkova, and I said that she was still with Rick Ocasek, but she sent me a link to the New York Daily News.
Oh boy.
That Paulina Porizkova and Rick Ocasek, they have split after nearly 30 years of marriage. This is a story from May of last year, 2018.
You got owned.
And, yeah, which I obviously had not heard of, but...
Are you okay, man? You need a...
I'm okay. I'm
you
okay.
Need a minute?
Her statement is, our family has always been, and still is, a well-built car. When the four of us are together, we can go wherever the road takes us. They have kids, by the way. There aren't, like, two other people in the marriage.
Oh, okay.
But as a bicycle, my husband and I no longer pedal in unison, so we're ditching the bicycle.
What's up with all these vehicle...
It's a big vehicle metaphor.
Because he's in the cars, is that it? And he made the song.
Oh, geez, I didn't even think of that.
Is that what she was doing? And they did the song Drive, and...
Yeah. Their family was a well-built car.
It's like, now you might think
that this... Uh-oh. It's magic. I can't really relate that to the statement, but...
We can't shake...
But we care about setting the record straight, so...
Yes.
Our condolences to Paulina... And Rick, sorry to hear that.
Right, and the Weezer Toto Africa was started up. That campaign was started up by a 14-year-old girl from Cleveland named Mary.
Okay,
so there we go.
So that's it. We've set the record straight on all this stuff.
Done. Boom.
All done. Okay.
All now family business is taken care of.
Our record is spotless once again. We've taken care of all family business. Nice. We shot Alex Rocco and Abe Vigoda.
That's right. Do you think?
So
I forgot that's what he said in that scene. Whatever.
We'll correct it next week.
Yes, okay. We will. I'll watch The Godfather again.
We'll watch The Godfather and we'll correct that. But for now, we're going to get into our actual topic.
Yes.
For this week, which is, as you may have forgotten by this point.
Like the stars on SNL.
Cast members who became more famous after they left the show. So they're famous people that you might at this point you might not even remember that they were on the show.
You'd be like, whoa, whoa, whoa?
Yeah. So
I don't know where that came from. I'm sorry.
So hopefully this will be a little enlightening, fascinating. Just be like, oh, wow, I didn't know they were on the show. I wonder what they did.
We're going to school you.
So, yeah. So we did similar to what we're talking about with our favorite cast members, favorite hosts.
Right.
We did a list of five.
Yeah.
Put in a couple of honorable mentions. Absolutely. I guess we're going to go back and forth and talk about these folks.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, most of mine came from what SNL nerds know as the Dick Ebersol years, which is when Lorne got fired, right? Was he let go?
I think he just chose to leave. I don't remember if he actually got fired.
I got to read the book, Life from New York book.
That's right. I got to refresh my memory on that.
For those who don't know, there was a chunk of time where Lorne Michaels left the show and he wasn't with the show anymore.
From 1980 to 1985.
Yes.
But the show was still, I guess, doing well enough for NBC that they were like, well, let's keep this going.
Right.
And this is also where SNL being in such a weird time slot kind of helps because it's like, what else are you going to put on?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you could put on some reruns or anything, but it's not going to get the same ratings as Saturday Night Live would.
Yeah, that's very true.
So you may as well give it a shot. You may as well keep it going. You may as well bring in a new cast, some new producers, new writers, and see if you can make something of it.
Right. And during this time, they did a thing where it was head up by this guy, Dick Ebersol, who was like
basically... He was like the NBC sports guy.
Yeah, he was basically like the kind of substitute teacher of the Lorne Michaels, I guess, in this part.
Yeah. I mean, he ran like Wild World of Sports.
Right.
Well, actually, before Dick Ebersol, there was a year it was produced by Gene. I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name. Gene
Wilder.
I wish.
Right? Don't we all?
Gene Dominon, something like that.
Okay.
Who she was the person who brought on Eddie Murphy. Ooh. And then she didn't last out like more than a season, I think.
Okay.
Or no, wait, did she? I'm getting this all mixed up. I think she rejected Eddie Murphy, and then Dick Ebersol was the guy who brought in Eddie Murphy.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
All yeah, right. Yeah.
Cool, all right.
But anyway.
But yeah, so in the early 80s, there was this time where they were bringing in more, not comedic actors and not improv actors, but just like actors.
Some more established people.
Yeah, like established actors. That was a kind of weird experiment. And one of those people, I didn't number these. I just kind of. Okay. But one of them was that you probably have on your list, Robert Downey Jr.
He was actually the number one guy on the list that where you might not know he was on SNL because he was only on for a season.
One season.
This was actually he was on during Lorne's first year back. Lorne Michaels returned to the show in 1985, and he brought on a this weird eclectic kind of cast. And Robert Downey Jr. was one of those cast members. I'm not going to say who else because I'm going to get into some of those others later. But Robert Downey, he was kind of known.
He was
beforehand.
Yeah.
He'd been in few things. Like he was in Weird Science. I don't think he'd done even like Back to School yet.
Yeah, because that's like more like mid 80s, right?
Yeah, Back to School was like 86, 87, something like that. So he was like a working guy, but he was very young. He was just 20 years old.
Wow.
And so very young.
Green, that is.
Even for an SNL cast member.
Yeah, that's like Pete Davidson age.
Yeah, probably the only people who've been younger are like Pete Davidson and Eddie Murphy, because I think Eddie Murphy was like 19 when he was hired.
Yeah, that's right.
But it was interesting when Rolling Stone ranked all 141 cast members of SNL, Robert Downey Jr. dead last.
Jeez. but yeah, I'm looking at his bio now. Yeah, like Weird Science he did in 85.
Okay.
And then after that, it's like a bunch of movies I haven't heard. Tough Turf.
Don't know that
Firstborn, one. Baby It's You, Up the Academy, Greaser's.
I've heard of Up the Academy.
Greaser's Palace and something called Pound. But yeah, there's just a lot of movies that weren't big. Uh-huh. I guess the big one he broke out of was Weird Science.
I guess.
Yeah, and Back to School was 86.
Yeah, but I mean, he became much more famous later on. Since leaving Saturday Night Live, he's gotten two Oscar nominations. He's been nominated for the movie Chaplin, which was a biopic of Charlie Chaplin.
I forget about Chaplin. I still haven't seen it. Like
that was like
watch
early
it.
90s. This was when his career was going great, and then he had his problems with drugs and all that.
Substance abuse and whatnot.
Substance abuse. He actually went to the point he went to prison for a little while.
Yeah.
But the
I feel like people forgot about that.
It is really forgotten because it's so far in the past.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, because he's just turned his life around so much. I mean, his other Oscar nomination was for Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, that's insane.
The Ben Stiller movie.
That's insane because just comedy doesn't usually get nominations like that. I mean, I will admit, like, he was amazing. Like, he was, like, beyond amazing in that movie.
I mean, that shows you how beloved and appreciated that Robert Downey Jr. is.
Yeah.
He got away with blackface.
Yeah, I mean, but the way they did it, you can
see. Yeah.
It's like, all right, I can. And, yeah.
That could have backfired so easily.
That would have, because I remember, like, when that movie was about to come out, and it's like, oh, yeah, Robert Downey does blackface. I was like, oh no.
And that was like around 2008, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
2008, 2010, but, something like that.
But. Yeah, but like the way they did it and the way they explained it and like the fact that they had the other character, Al Pacino, sort of keep him in
Calling
check.
Calling him out.
Yeah, and keep him in check. That like made it okay.
What do you mean, you people? What do you mean, you people?
But yeah, but like the way Robert Downey Jr. played it, it was really, I mean, the movie, I mean,
because he's playing this Australian method actor.
Right.
Who, in the movie, he undergoes a surgical procedure
so
he can be transformed into a black man.
Yes.
For this part in this Vietnam movie.
Right.
And so it's more of a spoof on outrageous method actors than it is on a minstrel thing or something like that.
It's more making fun of, like you said, I guess Russell Crowe types and
right.
Whatnot.
I mean, he had a line in there. He's like, I don't drop character until I do the DVD commentary.
And I listened to that DVD because I love that movie so much. I listened to it with the DVD commentary, and he's actually doing the DVD commentary in character in that same
and
voice.
And then I understand like a little before the end, he becomes Mel Lazarus, and then at the very, very end, he becomes Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Kirk Lazarus.
He plays. Yeah, he does the. Kirk Lazarus,
Kirk Lazarus,
the Australian actor who
he plays. It's so trippy. But yeah. Tropic Thunder is a fantastic movie.
But very funny movie.
Oh,
very
funny movie. But yeah, on SNL, like, I don't think he didn't have too many characters. I don't think he had any characters.
I mean,
really.
He was on for like a season, so it's not a whole lot of time to develop a whole lot. I read that there was this horrible sketch he was in called Suitcase Boy, where he was like a guy and he's like shaped like a suitcase. And they put on a clip of it, but I didn't watch it because
the whole thing is just like suitcase shaped, and that's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yipes.
Ooh. But
so,
yeah.
But and also since he's freaking Iron Man.
Yeah. We didn't mention Iron Man. That's like the one thing that like launched him into the stratosphere.
Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, I've read like they didn't even want to insure him on the first Iron Man movie, or Jon Favreau had trouble insuring him on it because of all his legal troubles and stuff.
Right.
But that movie was a monster hit, just kind of out of nowhere, because Iron Man wasn't really a known comic book character.
Yeah, none of them were. Captain America was known, but like like Thor and definitely Guardians of the Galaxy, no one knew about that.
But yeah, they weren't a lot of the Marvel characters. They weren't people that the guy in the street would know.
Yeah, like Black Panther.
But Iron Man just like exploded out of the gate, and that became like the foundation for the whole Marvel cinematic universe. And
now I can't imagine
like 20 movies strong now.
Yeah, I can't imagine anybody else doing Iron Man. Like,
no,
he is Iron Man. That's like,
yeah, he's the guy. And when he's done, I don't see them recasting.
I mean, I don't want to say never, because I just know Hollywood's going to probably wait a while and be like, all right, let's reboot
this. If they have any sense, they at least have to give it a rest before they try to bring somebody else in.
I mean, they do. They redo Batman all the time, so I mean,
they redo Batman. They've, like, recast James Bond. I think you probably could recast Iron Man at some point.
Yeah.
I just don't think you should do it right away.
Yeah. But, I mean, show a little, what's the word? Something.
Respect.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's it. But yeah. But yeah, Robert Downey Jr. He was
Robert
on SNL. Like, there's some sketches you can see online. Mm-hmm. He's good in some, good in others, but yeah, I understand why he only lasted a season.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so hit me with one.
Let's see. This is somebody I put on my honorable mentions, but he was in the same cast as Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
And he was around the same age. Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah, that was a shocker too.
Now, Anthony Michael Hall, he was in a bit of a different place in his career. He was always—I would say—he was already famous because he'd already done National Lampoon's Vacation. He was in The Breakfast Club and 16 Candles.
Yeah, he was like on the uprise.
So he was like probably around 2021 too.
Right,
and they were like, you know, supposed to be the young guys, I guess.
Right.
You know, the young hunky guys.
Heartthrobs.
And you know, again, he only lasted like a year. This season of SNL. I think most involved would say it didn't work.
Yeah.
I haven't watched most of the season, but I understand like the final sketch of the season was they had a fire break out in the studio.
Uh-huh.
And all the cast members were caught in the fire, and they were doing sort of a parody of like the big nighttime soap opera cliffhanger things.
Oh, wow.
Where you didn't know who was going to survive, like a Who Shot JR thing.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. And they had Lorne Michaels. He ran in and he saved John Lovitz, and that was it. And everybody else was up in the air. But
okay.
But two of the other people who were
I kind of remember that. Yeah.
The two of the other people who were in this cast were Nora Dunn.
Yeah.
And Dennis Miller.
Yes.
Who I think started doing Weekend Update that year. He must have. So like those were the three that Lorne kept, and then he built a new cast around them, and that's when he brought in Dana Carvey and Jan Hooks,
right.
And Phil Hartman,
Neelan.
And then that was when the show really bounced back,
right?
After it had been around for like 10-11 years,
yeah, very
but,
much so.
But
yeah, Anthony Michael Hall, like same thing, like he didn't really have any sketch, any memorable characters really, and I mean he was all right, but yeah, it's just I don't know. That's the weird thing about SNL. It's just like it's. You think you just put in some good actors and it'll just fly, but it's not.
But they have to gel as a cast, as a unit.
Very much so.
I mean, these people could be good on their own merits, or they could just be in the wrong place.
Right.
You know, sometimes it works, and I think you can't really know until you try it. You know?
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, very true. All right, so another one that people might not know.
Mm-hmm.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Gilbert Gottfried.
He was on SNL. He was an SNL cast member.
Yeah.
1980 to 81.
He was on the first replacement cast. This was like after the original cast had left. We were on for 5 years.
Right.
And they like Aykroyd and Belushi, I think, left like after 4 years.
Yeah.
And then they had a year where they had like I think Bill Murray and Gene Curtin and Gilda Radner and, mm. and all those other originals.
Right, right.
And then, like, everybody as a group decided to go.
Yeah, I think it was one of those things where it was, like, is it one of those things where, like, Lorne Michaels left or everybody left?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that was part of it, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And so the poor people at NBC, they have to replace everybody on the show. Most of the writers, yeah. most of the cast, like, everybody in the cast.
Yeah.
And they have a new producer and so they bring in these new players, and they're all pretty much unknowns.
Yeah,
right. And one of them was Gilbert Gottfried.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Very young Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah, I don't think he'd done anything until this, right? I mean, he was a stand-up.
Or anything, yeah.
He'd done stand-up, of course.
Right.
But, like, this was, like, the first thing that, like, he'd ever really done. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, same thing. No real characters, I don't think. And he was, it's weird. Like, you could probably see old episodes of him doing sketches, but he's using his regular voice. He's not using...
It's not the exaggerated Gilbert Gottfried voice that you think of when you hear Gilbert Gottfried.
Yes, that was very good.
Was it?
No. But, like, you hear him, like, wow, he talks like a regular dude. He's not mm-hmm. talking like a Iago the parrot.
Yeah, and I think like, the what you think of as the Gilbert Gottfried voice, I think it's just kind of an exaggerated version of his natural voice.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's it's kind of Gilbert just turned up to 11.
Yes, it's cranked up. Yeah. But yeah, Gilbert Gottfried, he was on SNL, go figure.
But I mean, and so he was on the show for like a year.
Yeah.
Didn't quite work. That whole cast in general didn't
work. I think he got let go, yeah.
Yeah, I think they let go pretty much everybody at the end of that year.
I guess they were like, well, this didn't work.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. Let's try again. And I think that was around when Eddie Murphy came on and,
yeah, and then
basically saved the show.
The Murphy years. I mean, I'm an unapologetic Murphy fan. So when he came on, like, that was a thing of beauty.
I mean, when you're doing a list of the big cool cast members, Eddie Murphy's on there, and he was on our list of the best ever cast members.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gilbert, you know, he's done more prominent stuff since. He's done a lot of stand up. He was like the voice of Iago in Aladdin.
Very much so.
He was the Affleck duck on the commercials for a while.
Yeah, and then. Then that turned.
That didn't turn out so great, but came to a bad ending. Google it.
yikes!
And he's got a podcast now.
Gilbert
Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast, and it's cool. He interviews a lot of cool people on there.
Yeah, very much so.
Enjoy Gilbert Gottfried.
Yes, Gilbert Gottfried. Yeah. So who else you have?
Who else? Let's see. Who do I want to do next? Why don't we talk about Damon Wayans? Damon Wayans, he's a guy that a lot of people forget was on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, because he became more famous off of In Living Color.
Exactly, just a few years after that. He was fired, rather infamously fired.
During the show.
During the broadcast.
Yeah.
Because apparently Damon Wayans was getting very upset because he wasn't being featured on the show enough, or he wasn't happy enough. And so he got so fed up that one sketch he was playing like a policeman or a prison guard or something like that.
I remember seeing this sketch too.
And it's one of those thankless roles in the sketches where he just has like a line or two and he like leads somebody in, leads somebody out. But he was so fed up he decided to rebel and just play this prison guard as flamboyantly gay.
Yeah. Like he basically, like you said, like he's supposed to come into a room and say, oh, so-and-so is here to see you.
Mm-hmm.
But then the way he does it is, so-and-so is here to see you. It had nothing to do with the character or...
Right.
And it just threw kind of everybody off a little bit. You could kind of see it did. And
because the audience is suddenly like, okay, well, what is this about? Why was that cop gay?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that was an era where it's like you wouldn't have somebody be flamboyantly gay unless there was a reason for it. But he just decided to do that.
Yeah, it was oof.
And Lorne Michaels, who hates it when people improvise on the show.
Does not like it.
He does not like it. He fired him on the spot.
Like right there.
Right there and then. And
what a way to go out.
And I mean, it's a great story.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know if I'd say he went out in a blaze of glory, but you know, when you get fired, you want a story like that.
Yeah.
You want, like, if it's like, oh, why'd you get fired from that job? You want a story like, well, let me tell you.
Yeah, I mean, it was just insane. I mean, I can't, like, it was the same thing. Like, I don't know if he had any really strong like characters or anything. But like the only other thing I remember him from was the stand-up comedian sketch. You know, because this thing he did with
which we mentioned last week with Tom Hanks.
Yes, he was in that Tom Hanks sketch with
What's the deal with people getting fired from SNL? Yeah.
And sure enough, he was in Punchline with Tom Hanks too.
I really liked him in that movie Punchline, which is a movie where about Tom Hanks. He's an established comedian, and Sally Field is this housewife who is trying to get into the stand-up comedy world. And, you know, I'm mixed on the movie overall, but Damon Wayans was really good because he was a real stand-up.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And he was playing like a real angry guy.
Yeah, angry black, like, yo, white motherfucker. Yeah, like
I think the big showcase at the end where everybody's supposed to, you know, try and make it, and that's could make or break it.
Right.
He gets like really angry and he turns on the audience.
Yeah, and the audience is just like all quiet and awkward. Yeah. Like, oh my God, what happened?
And he just destroys his chance.
Yeah. it was funny to me.
It's funny. It's,
yeah.
The moment I really love in that movie, Punchline, was there was a character played by Taylor Negron. You
know, yeah, you know Taylor Negron, right?
Negron, okay,
yes.
Excuse me.
Rest in peace.
Yes. He passed away. Yeah, passed away maybe a year or two ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But very funny guy. His character actor, if you saw him, he plays the pizza delivery guy in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yes.
Who delivers a pizza to Spicoli.
Right.
But he played another comic.
Okay, I know what you're saying.
On the showcase. And spoilers for Punchline. Spoilers from this movie from 1988. At the end of the movie, Sally Field decides that her home life is more important than her becoming a stand-up because it's tearing her apart.
Yeah.
And she decides, no, I'm going to walk out. I don't even need to know who won.
Right.
And then he's like, oh, you did win. And then like I think Tom Hanks says, oh, I'm also out in solidarity.
Whoa.
And like all the other comics are like, yeah, I'm out too. And then the promoter's like, oh, he has nobody to put on the stage or nobody to win this contest. And Taylor Negron just goes, I'm in. I'm still in. And I love that moment because I'm like, that's comic.
That's a comic.
I will.
That is a comic.
I will roll over on all you mother efforts.
I will walk on your dead bodies to get to this microphone and win this contest.
Exactly. And it's such a great little moment. I have no idea if it was even scripted. I hope it was. But if it wasn't, hats off to Taylor Negron. It's one of the funniest moments in that movie.
It's a beautiful moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you get there from Damon Wayans.
I don't know.
Punchline.
Yeah.
But Damon Wayans, he later does another sketch show in Living Color. He does that with his brother.
Yeah, and does a little bit better.
And you know, he really breaks on that show.
Yeah, no, that was a show that broke him.
I mean, he did the Men on Film. He did the
a lot of sketches you can't do now anymore.
They had the Jamaican family who did all the jobs.
Heyman.
That was it.
Who's that homeless dude, Antoine, I believe.
Oh, yeah. It's been a long time since I watched any of Living Color.
Some of it doesn't really hold up. I mean, just because it feels kind of dated. And Homeboy Shopping Network, there was a Milli Vanilli.
They were always selling things out of the back of a truck.
Yeah, they were selling hot merchandise.
Yeah, him and Tommy Javidson.
Oh, no, I think it was him and Keenan.
Was it Keenan?
Yeah, it was him and Keenan Everwayans. What else was there? There was that one. Oh, there was a Milli Vanilli sketch in there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yes. Like that. I mean, at the time, that show was groundbreaking.
It was.
Jim Carrey just like blew the roof off that thing, too.
Yeah, but it was also, I mean, the big twist or the big hook of it was a predominantly black cast.
Yeah, predominantly black cast.
They had just one white guy and one white woman.
Yeah.
So it was sort of like the reverse of what the SNL formula was, because they always had just like one black cast member.
Yeah, and it was just like, it was like hip and young, and like they'd always have like some new hip hopper. At the end.
It was on in prime time, too.
Yeah.
It was on Fox, which was like sort of the young, hip network at the time.
And they'd be like, oh, ladies and gentlemen, Heavy D and the Boys, or ladies and gentlemen, Naughty by Nature. And they just have like, hip-hop, or like Tupac would come out. And like, it was like way more hipper and younger and fresher than SNL.
And
I think it was what SNL used to be in a way.
Yeah, I mean, because it had the cultural cachet.
Yes,
it was the hip show that everybody was watching.
Very much so.
And he went on. He did some movies. He did Blank Man. He did the Last Boy Scout with
Last Boy Scout with Bruce Willis. Did Major Payne.
Major Payne.
I
know he did a sitcom later. He did My Wife.
Oh,
and
yeah,
Kids.
My Wife and Kids.
And he's on the Lethal Weapon show.
Yeah.
The TV version of Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, he's still doing it. Still funny. He did a couple other comedy specials.
So he obviously bounced back beautifully.
He did.
He did.
He's doing he's all
had,
right.
He's had a very respectable career. They probably had the longest career than any of the Wayans, wouldn't you say?
Out of the Wayans?
I mean, you don't hear much from Keenan anymore.
He might be doing stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah, that could be. Marlon. And his sons are doing okay.
Yeah, his sons are. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Damon Wayans Jr.
Damon Wayans Jr. was on Happy Endings.
Happy Endings. And, like, guys, criminally underrated show, Happy Endings.
Mm-hmm. And The New Girl.
And The New Girl's New Girl, amazing. Damon Wayans Jr. is doing all right.
The Wayans family dynasty.
That's right. Taking over.
Comedy dynasty.
Oh, my God. Taking over. They're like the new Kardashians. I don't know. Maybe.
So,
another person who people may have forgotten was on SNL. We're done a couple. Oh, I'll say this one. Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yes. She was on my list.
She was a cast member.
She was on years. She was on with Eddie Murphy, and then I think she stayed on. Wasn't she on when, like, Billy Crystal... And all
I think so.
On?
She was on there for a bit. She was like on for like 4 years, I believe.
Okay, okay. Well, that's
82 to 85.
Okay, that's
so
good.
So that's 3 years.
Three seasons, I guess. Yeah. So that's a decent while. And she, of course, you know, went on to do Seinfeld and Veep. And actually, her career would be in a very different place if she wasn't on SNL, because that is where she met Larry David.
Yeah.
Co-creator of Seinfeld and later of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
See, I thought you were going to say Brad Hall, but yeah, Larry.
Well, she met her husband Brad Hall too,
right? Because like Brad Hall, he was on SNL too, and
that's true.
And he was right, and they've been married ever since.
That's true, and
he was a Weekend Update anchor.
He was, but I think, but career-wise, I think Larry David.
I'm talking about love, okay. Trumbull. I
don't know about your human emotions. I mean,
you robot.
Yeah.
Talking about true love.
I am talking about career, damn it. She is a provider.
Jeez. All right. But yeah, Larry David. Because Larry David, again, Larry David was on the show as
Larry,
well.
Well, Larry David was on as a writer, and he infamously did not get any sketches on the air, or he got maybe like one sketch on the air. Just a minuscule number of things, which if that happens, you're probably not going to come back for another season.
Yeah.
And apparently Larry David got so fed up with the show that he quit, and then he gets home and he has a moment of clarity, and he's like, what am I doing? This is a great job. I'm still getting paid, even if I'm not getting stuff on the air.
Right.
And so he decided to go back and just pretend he hadn't quit, and that later became that later became a storyline for George Costanza on Seinfeld.
Wow, life imitates art.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, so how did that work out for him? Did people be like, was the jig up immediately?
I think they indulged him. I think he came. It was probably like close to the end of the season, and he came back. I'm a little hazy on what happened after.
Oh boy!
I mean, he either left or got fired. But
I mean, I don't know if that's genius or really dumb, but it's maybe a little both.
He got an episode out of one of the greatest sitcoms of all time out of it. So
yeah, that's very
I'd
true.
Say genius.
All right, I can't distribute that.
But anyway, the fact that Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Larry David knew each other from that time is the reason why they brought her into the Seinfeld show.
See, you guys, just connect
and the
strings.
And the Seinfeld pilot didn't have the character of Elaine in it.
Oh, so they wrote her in?
They wrote her in because, like, NBC, I think, said, oh, you need a woman on the show. They created the Elaine character, loosely based on Elaine Boozler.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't know.
Yeah.
Look at me learning.
Wow. It's all the comedy strands coming together.
Wow.
And
look at
I'm just drawing connections between all these. I'm like Russell Crowe in
A Beautiful Mind.
A Beautiful Mind. And just like,
just writing on mirrors.
SNL affected Seinfeld, which affected...
Guys, there's red string everywhere. You can't see it.
It all ties together.
All goes straight to the top.
And she's won, gosh, I don't know how many Emmys.
She's Emmy after Emmy.
She's
the house made of Emmys.
And she's just done years of Veep.
Yeah.
And, I mean, how many people do you know that have, like, two successful sitcoms under her belt?
I personally?
Yes.
Not many.
Personally. I mean, so...
There's that one guy I know. And...
I mean, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is always funny.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
But, yeah, but I guess on SNL, she just didn't, like, break out, but she went on to bigger and better things.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, so who else is on your list?
Well, let's see. Who else we got? We covered Damon. We covered Gilbert. We covered Julia. We covered Robert Downey Jr. Joan Cusack. She was also on the cast with that year with Robert Downey Jr. and Anthony Michael Hall.
Right.
And I mean,
and actually, another person I was going to mention earlier, we could throw them in right now. Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid was also in this cast.
That's right, Dennis's brother.
Yes, and John Cusack's sister.
Oh yeah, look at that, siblings helping out siblings. Yeah.
So now, I mean, Randy Quaid, he was somebody I put on my honorable mentions because he was already kind of famous. He'd already done Vacation with Anthony Michael Hall, and he'd been in The Last Picture Show. Peter Bogdanovich movie, which is a great movie. Just if you haven't seen Last Picture Show, go check that out. Wow. It's I don't think I have. Of course, Leachman won an Oscar, and young Sybil Shepherd's naked on a diving board.
Oh,
so there,
good heavens!
I sold it.
Oh, good. oh my!
And you got Jeff Bridges and Timothy Bottoms too. So,
they're good too.
So they're good too. But you know, the Sybil Shepherd naked on a diving board.
I mean,
so
yeah. If you like that type of thing,
if you're into that sort of thing, no judgment. And Randy Quaid had also gotten an Oscar nomination for The Last Detail.
Really?
Which, I don't know if you've seen this. It's a Jack Nicholson movie.
Yeah, is it like in the Navy or something?
Yeah, they're two Navy MPs, and they have to transport a prisoner to a facility, and they have to, I think it's like at least a weekend trip.
Okay.
And they discover on the way that this young, naive guy, played by young Randy Quaid, he hasn't really had much of a life, so they decided to show him a good time before he goes off to prison for the better part of his adult life.
Oh, boy.
And so it's these three Navy guys carousing around, and good movie. Good movie.
Okay, I have not known that. But but he went from that to SNL. That's, I mean, I struggle to think of any characters they've had, but both her and Cusack, too.
It's so weird because like Anthony Michael Hall and Randy Quaid, they both had movie careers happening,
right?
And it's kind of a weird move to like you become a movie star and then you go to SNL.
Yeah, that's like
it's really I think maybe Lorne was hedging his bets a little bit,
right?
By bringing in some people who were already famous.
This wasn't the Ebersol year.
This was Lorne's first year back.
Oh,
and they don't talk about this year a lot.
They do not.
I mean, because it's one of those years that wasn't very memorable or very funny or very successful.
Right.
So
it keeps us on the QT.
You'll see like 2 seconds of it in one of the retrospective specials.
Yeah. You'll see like Cusack, and let's move on to Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. All right. But, well, Randy Quaid and Joan Cusack, they were on SNL.
Oh, and Joan Cusack, we should talk about her a little more.
Yeah.
I mean, she's wonderful. She's underrated.
Very much so. I still like her in give me a minute. Okay. Gross Point Blank.
Gross Point Blank.
She was
plays John Cusack's the hitman's secretary or assistant.
Assistant, yeah.
I guess we should say. Wonderful, hilarious.
She's really funny in that.
She's gotten 2 Oscar nominations, both for comedies. Working Girl and In and Out. Do you remember the In-N-Out?
Yeah.
Ben Klein, he's like the small town teacher.
Yeah. And Matt Dillon outs him.
He outs him at the Oscars.
Yeah, I remember that.
Which was based on Tom Hanks's acceptance speech for Philadelphia. He talked about his old drama teacher who was gay.
Really?
Yeah.
And oh wow,
that's how that movie got started.
But wait, the drama teacher. Everybody knew the drama teacher was gay.
Tom Hanks's drama teacher was out.
Oh, okay.
And Tom Hanks like talked to him beforehand.
Oh, okay.
And in the movie In and Out, Matt Dillon wins Best Actor or whatever, and he's like, "Oh, and I want to thank this drama teacher, Kevin Kline's character. Yeah. I don't remember his name." And he just goes, "And he's gay." And Kevin Kline is like engaged to Joan Cusack.
That's right.
And all these reporters converge on the small town, and Tom Selleck is a reporter who's out, and he helps. Kevin Kline's character realized that he's actually gay and just very closeted.
Wow.
And Joan Cusack she's expecting to get married.
And now she's
horrified.
That does not happen.
Yeah, and I think there's a bit like towards the end of the movie where she comes on to Tom Selleck's character.
Okay.
And he's like, "No, I can't, I'm gay," and she just goes, "Is everybody gay?"
Joan Cusack, underrated talent.
She is great.
School of Rock. She was really good in that, too.
Wonderful in School of Rock, the Jack Black movie, where he's teaching the kids how to rock.
Yes, and she's like the kind of buttoned-up principal. She was really good in that, too.
But, and that's a role that could like easily be a cliche.
Yes, very much
or
so.
Where she's just like the buzzkill.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she's like, oh, you know, she's still slightly repressed repressed. Thank you.
That's the word.
Repressed person. I'm going to drink some water.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Who just got stuck in this job.
Yeah.
And so people look at her as the buzzkill, but she wants to be cool.
Absolutely. But yeah, Joan Cusack. Underrated talent.
She is a delight. I haven't seen her in anything in forever.
It's been a minute. She's been on the QT.
I hope she's doing okay.
Hope so.
And but you know, I enjoy the Joan Cusack.
Yes, very much so.
She is wonderful. She is a delight.
Uh-huh. Hooray! Hooray for Cusack!
Hooray! And I think that was everybody on my list. Do you have anyone else there?
I have a couple. If you want to, we'll just wrap it up. But I mean, everybody we talked about were in the 80s, so let's hop into the 90s. I'll say Ben Stiller. I mean, he was
great example.
People forget.
I forgot him.
Yeah.
I forgot him.
Yeah, exactly. People forgot Ben Stiller was on 88 to 89, I think.
Did he ever become like more than a featured player?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But yeah, he was in it for a bit. I remember, I think it was like an episode of Jeopardy they did, and he did, of course, his Tom Cruise impression, which is always great.
I think he did his Eddie Munster impression.
Eddie Munster impression, which
he later did on the Ben Stiller show.
Yes. Underrated show.
Underrated show.
Ben Stiller show. Like the one on MTV and the Channel 5.
It canceled very, very quickly. There was only like, 12 episodes of it?
I think it's on DVD. It's just like
Ben Stiller,
the whole season.
Janine Garofalo, Bob Odenkirk, Andy Dick.
And Janine Garofalo also on SNL.
Janine Garofalo. She was another person who was like famous before
she
came onto the show.
But I think she famously wasn't crazy about it. She said it was like a boys club.
They were having a very bad year.
That year was...
It was like, it was the last throws of the Sandler, Farley, Spade years.
And before the Ferrell, Oteri, Catania.
So it's one of those weird in-between years.
Yes.
Where they don't quite know what the show is going to be. And she comes on and Michael McKean was on and Chris Elliott was on.
Chris Elliott was on, another one. And Sarah Silverman was on it, too.
Ben Stiller and Sarah Silverman, those are two people I forgot about, and I should have put them on my list.
Look at us learning.
Look at it. We're teaching each other.
That's right.
It's inspirational. He taught me.
You're teaching that boy.
It's like
he's teaching me.
It's like the end of The Miracle Worker, and like Darren Patterson is just pouring water on my hand and teaching me what water is. I learned to speak.
That's right. We're healing lives here, people.
You're my Maggie Sullivan.
I'll watch that movie and understand that reference. For the next show,
okay.
But
got the character name wrong. But
okay. But yeah. There was that in between year in the 90s where, like we said, like Garofalo was on it, Sarah Silverman was on it, Chris Elliott, and it was. I think Laura Keiling was on it as well. And it wasn't It was a weird year. Like a lot of people don't remember it. They did that Saturday Night Dead thing, like they always do.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't great. But then afterwards they sprung, redid the whole cast, and that's when Ferrell and Oteri and Molly Shannon came on, and it kind of bounced back.
I actually met Janine Garofalo this last summer. Yeah.
She does shows in the city all the time.
She does shows. This was a show at QED.
Ooh.
over in Queens.
Check it out.
I went over Frank Conniff of Mystery Science Theater 3000 fame. He does a show every month with I forget what the name of it is. It's like a riffing contest show.
Yes.
Where, like, you go in, you sign up, they pull the names out of the hat, you riff on, like, 5 minutes of a movie.
Yes, I remember.
And then at the end of the night, like, Frank and a celebrity judge and somebody else, they choose the best riffer of the night. And then you get to riff with Frank and...
Riff with the big boys.
Yeah. And I went, had a really good time, didn't win.
Oh.
But as I was walking back...
It's rigged.
I was walking in the
this
same.
This riff is rigged.
I was walking in the same direction as Janine Garofalo back to my train, and
I
talked with her. I was like, because I have a horrible sense of direction. I was like, wait, is this the way back? And she was like, yeah, I think it is. I'm not quite native to this area. And
okay.
I just chatted with her a bit.
She's
a lovely person. Very, very
future
nice,
SNL very nerds cool. guest? Question mark.
Well, I am not in touch with her. We did not exchange information, but perhaps I could. Reach out to her in some fashion.
All right. We'll just put that out in the ether.
I don't think she really particularly likes talking about her time on the show.
We can trash it.
It was such a bad experience for her.
All right.
And she said, like, it was my dream to be on this show.
And then the dream is a nightmare.
And then, yeah, just...
All right, well...
Yeah.
All right, fine. We won't talk about it about that. Fine. Fine.
I'm sure if she wanted to come on, we could find other things right. to talk to Janine Garofalo about.
So Janine Garofalo, if you want to come here on SNL and like trash the show and name names.
Open invitation.
Open arms. We welcome you.
If you don't want to do that, that's fine too. Come on, we'll talk about other stuff.
We'll talk about whatever.
We'll talk about other projects you like Reality Bites.
Yeah.
And
the other thing. The other movie.
The other movie.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that was, as you can see, I'm terrible at riffing as well. That's why I didn't do the QED thing that you did. Truth About Cats and Dogs. There it is.
There you go.
Or Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion.
Or the time you were on The West Wing.
Yeah. Or the time you were on Cable Guy. That was a great movie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she was the waitress at Medieval Times.
All right, now it's coming back. Now it's coming back.
Medieval Times, which we have one of those here in Jersey.
That's right.
So I've been to the Medieval Times.
Medieval Times.
But we didn't talk about Ben Stiller too much. Should we talk about him a bit more?
Yeah, we'll do that and then wrap up, I guess.
Yeah.
Ben Stiller, yeah, I mean, you know, phenomenal talent, we all know. But I think when he was... From what I read, he wanted to do more like filmed clips.
Okay.
But like, I don't think Lauren wanted to do it, and like,
oh, that's interesting.
Maybe that's why he took off. There's a whole thing why like he wanted to make more shorts, and he says he left, but he might have gotten fired. Oh wait, no, that's Sarah Silverman. But yeah, Ben Stiller. I think after he was literally on the show only for like 3 months.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Because I remember when he came on. I think he was like the next guy that came on after like they introduced Mike Myers.
Right.
It was somewhere around that era, like early 90s.
Yeah.
Or was it 89?
He was on it. Yeah, 88 to 89.
80. Okay, so
but like
earlier.
Literally like. Yeah. Literally, he was.
I just lost my headphones for a second. And
this
made
news,
Darren crack up.
This news is just flummoxing you.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was literally on SNL for 3 months, and then he was out.
But I remember liking him right off the bat.
Yeah,
and he's got a comedy background because his parents are
Jerry Stiller
and Ann Mira.
Yes,
who are a comedy duo.
Yeah,
and you probably remember Jerry Stiller from Seinfeld playing
Seinfeld,
George Costanza's father, and also King of Queens.
King of Queens, of course,
play Leah Remini's father.
Yeah, and he was also Zoolander.
He's in Zoolander
with his son Ben Stiller.
That's right, and Ben Stiller. He's done, he's had a hell of a career since.
Yeah, the '90s, he took off. Isn't
it? I mean, he did Dodgeball. He did.
He directed Cable Guy.
I directed Reality Bites. We just talked about a couple minutes ago. He did Cable Guy. He did, let's see. He's
Ben Stiller movies. Go.
He's done that movie with Jennifer Aniston. He's done Mystery Men. He's done.
Yeah.
He's guest starred on Friends.
Tropic Thunder. Well, that's a late
Tropic Thunder, which.
Zoolander.
Robert Downey Jr.
Wait, early.
Zoolander. He did Zoolander 2.
Okay, keep going. Something About Mary, of course.
Oh, Something About Mary.
The
he
huge
has,
one.
He has the semen on his ear.
He has semen on his ear.
Yeah, semen just dangling there. With.
Oh, all right, now you're getting descriptive. Now that's just gross.
What, because I said it was dangling?
Yes. That's unseemly.
Semen on the ear was fine, but semen
but that
dangling
don't
from the
describe
ear.
It. Okay. Ew. Heavyweights, Happy Gilmore, Flirting with Disaster. He was an episode of Friends. That's cool.
Yeah.
Your Permanent Midnight.
That was a dramatic movie.
Yeah, that was weird. That was a weird one. Mystery Men, of course. You know,
I mentioned that.
Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He did the Wes Anderson.
He did this one. You ever see this Heat Vision and Jack?
I know that's a really famous comedy pilot.
That never got picked up. I remember seeing it. It was like, it's such a
It's like Jack Black and Owen Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, basically the premise is it's supposed to be like a takeoff of kind of like all those 80s action movies, like kind of like Knight Rider type of thing.
He has like a super motorcycle, right?
Yeah, well, basically what happened is like Jack Black's in it. He plays this astronaut who gets too close to the sun on one of his missions, and the heat from the sun makes him the smartest man in the world. So when he comes back to Earth, like NASA wants to dissect his brain to see how his brain works, but he doesn't want to do that, so he like... He called his roommate, who has a motorcycle, say, NASA wants to dissect my brain, so get me out of here. I need you to come pick me up, and we're going to make an escape. So his roommate comes, picks him up on his motorcycle, but as he's escaping, NASA runs after him and tries to shoot him with this laser gun they have. And they hit his roommate, who's on a motorcycle, and the ray gun somehow makes him, his roommate, and the motorcycle become one. So now he's like a talking motorcycle. So Jack Black sees this and escapes, on his talking motorcycle, who was his roommate, voiced by Owen Wilson. And
so does Owen Wilson not have a body anymore? Is he just like in the motorcycle?
Yes, he's in the motorcycle. So it's like a kid.
So like he disintegrates his body and his consciousness goes into the motorcycle.
Exactly. So like now, so like Kid on Knight Rider.
Right.
So now he's on the run from NASA, and their hitman who NASA sent to capture him is actor Ron Silver.
Oh, the Ron Silver playing himself.
Yes, Ron Silver playing himself.
Okay.
And people say, hey, that's Ron Silver. But he's like, yes, I'm Ron Silver. And
it's hard to believe that Middle America did not embrace this.
Yeah, and the whole thing was directed by Ben Stiller. And he just goes around from town to town helping out people in each episode.
Did it ever air?
No, it didn't air.
Okay.
You can find it online.
Right.
But as crazy as this premise sounds.
No, I've heard of it for years, and I've just never watched it. It's one of those infamous pilots that people say, like, oh, it's so funny. Like, Conan O'Brien, he wrote one called Look Well, where Adam West is, like, this washed-up actor who had, like, a detective series, and he decides to solve crimes in real life.
But not become a detective, or
right. He like assumes because he was an actor on a detective show that he knows all there is to know about.
Oh, wow!
And it was written by Conan O'Brien, and it stars Adam West. And
that sounds kind of cool.
And Conan wanted this to be like Adam West's big comeback. But it didn't. It didn't happen. The show didn't sell.
Oh, that sucks.
But
I gotta look up that now too. But yeah. You can see the trailer, or not the trailer, but the one episode that didn't air online. Heat Vision and Jack,
and Look Well. We're gonna look those up.
Look them up.
Okay.
Wow, we went down a well.
We went down
a rabbit hole.
The digressions, they're the show.
Yeah.
I mean.
Exactly. All right, so wait, let's wrap it up with this. I wrote down some.
Did you want to talk about Sarah Silverman? Or?
Oh, yeah, maybe should we? Yes, Sarah Silverman, she was on it from 93 to 94.
Mm-hmm.
She got let go. But yeah, I know she had some like desk segments on the Weekend Update, but I don't think she did too much.
Yeah.
She was on the screen too much.
No.
Like
no.
Acting.
And
wise.
she was like pretty young. I think she was initially hired as a writer.
Right.
And there was a story in the Live from New York book where like I think she went out with the other new writers at her first day on the show, and like all the other writers who I think were all male were
sounds
all
about
talking
right.
And then well, like one of them turns to her and was like, oh, so are you like a secretary or an assistant? And she was like, no, I'm a writer like you, but funny.
Bam.
So
wow.
She was already like
well
punching
done.
Back. And yeah, she didn't last too long on the show, but
no.
Very successful.
Yeah. She had a huge career after,
And
Wreck-It
Ben
Ralph.
Stiller and Sarah Silverman, they both come back to host the show.
Yeah, they have.
So, I mean, they're obviously still on decent enough terms.
Yeah. I mean, Stiller, he played Robert
Cohen.
Cohen. Michael Cohen. I said Robert Cohen.
You said Robert
Cohen. I confused Robert Mueller and Cohen.
Yeah.
So that's how that happened.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Fused together like Heat Vision and Jack,
and
the motorcycle.
He's probably had more appearances on the show as Michael Cohen than he did when he was on the show.
Yeah, very much so. It's weird how that works. Life's a funny thing.
So that's it. We hope you learned a little something or were possibly entertained by the stories we
vaguely
recalled.
Yeah, I'll wrap it up with this real quick. So there's been a couple for people who auditioned who didn't make it, who went on to do huge things.
We should note this. We should note this.
If you saw the SNL 40, you probably saw, of course, Kevin Hart auditioned, didn't get it. Zach Galifianakis auditioned, didn't get it.
Steve Carell.
Steve Colbert auditioned, didn't get it. Jim Carrey auditioned twice and didn't get it.
It's mind-boggling.
That's insane.
Because Jim Carrey he's like built in a lab to be on SNL.
Yeah,
you know,
he auditioned in '80 and '85. I think one time, from what I read, like the one time he auditioned the first time was when Lauren left, and I think somebody saw him and they said like he thought Lauren wouldn't like him or he wouldn't be like Lauren. Lauren Michael wasn't there. Maybe that
was
it. And he thought no, Lauren wouldn't like this guy, and he didn't get it twice. And
I think you wonder if Lauren had stayed around for another year, would he have hired Jim Carrey?
Yeah, who knows?
You know?
I think we mentioned on the last episode, John Goodman got beat up by Piscopo.
Right.
Here's another one that surprised me. Gina Davis tried out for SNL.
Yeah.
Didn't get it. Got beat out by...
What year was that? Do you know?
I think 84, 85.
Okay, so this is pretty early in Gina Davis's career.
Yeah, very early. And, I mean, you don't think of her as a comedic actor, but she has done comedies.
Uh-huh.
And, she got beat up by Pamela Stevenson.
I remember her. She was a British comedian. She was on Not Necessarily the News. She has a part in Superman 3.
Yes, very much so.
She's the mall of Robert Vaughn's character who seduces Superman on top of the Statue of Liberty.
Sexy. And also we mentioned Gilbert Gottfried. Do you know who he beat out?
No.
Paul Rubens. Yeah, Pee-wee Herman. He was tried out for it and he got beat. He was, from what I've read, he was really upset that he didn't get in. That maybe was the impetus for him to do his own stuff.
Right.
And that might have started off him doing Pee Wee Herman.
That's interesting. And Pee Wee Herman was co-created by Phil Hartman, who co-wrote the movie, The Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Captain Carl.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And I'll wrap it up with this one. So, what was it? Oh, yeah. Two people. There was, from what I've read, in 1990, there was, you probably heard the story, too, where there was a showcase at the Groundlings in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
and that's when they hired Julia Sweeney to be on the show,
mm-hmm.
and the two people she beat out, do you know?
Lisa Kudrow?
Yes.
Who was dating Conan O'Brien.
She was?
They used to date.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I think they broke up when, I think maybe they broke up because Conan got the late night show.
What?
And so he was moving to New York.
Huh.
And they broke up then, and Lisa Kudrow stays, and she gets cast in the pilot of Frasier. She's let go from that, and then she gets Friends right after that.
Wow.
So
I didn't even know she was on Frasier, or she tried out for the...
She was going to play Roz on Frasier.
Huh.
She was originally cast, and then, first few days of rehearsals, they were like, oh, it wasn't quite working. She wasn't, I don't think she was, coming back at Kelsey Grammer enough.
Huh.
And they wanted somebody to go toe to toe with him a bit more, so they went with the runner up for the role,
Perry Gilpin.
And the two of them were friendly, and they were like, oh, you know, and they were very nice. And then Lisa Kudrow gets friends,
and then just off into the stratosphere.
So it worked out well for her.
Yeah. Wow. I did not know that. Sorry. So the other person
Julia Sweeney beat Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah. Because from what I read, it was really close. Like Kudrow was very close to getting, but they went.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But there was somebody else.
She would have been good.
But there was somebody else on that showcase. Do you know who it is?
No, I don't think so.
Kathy Griffin.
Wow.
Yeah, I think Kathy Griffin talks about it too, how she was on it, and it looked she was on the showcase, but. She got a sense that she wasn't going to get it,
mm-hmm.
but she really thought Kudrow was going to get it. I think, it from what I read, it came down to Kudrow and Sweeney, and they went with Sweeney.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Think about that.
Yeah.
The more you know.
And Julia Sweeney, she did all right on the show. She had, some hit characters. She did.
Yeah.
She had the whole
It's Pat thing.
That's probably her signature character.
Yeah, that's pretty much her one thing. But, yeah, I think... But from what I read, I remember her, her stuff is kind of more, comedic, but also a little bit more serious, more cerebral, mm-hmm. I guess, one woman-y type of show stuff. But I think she kind of got, she wasn't crazy about the direction it was going, because that's when Adam Sandler and, you know, Farley, and they were going a little bit more the frat bro humor later on.
Yeah.
And she was
she didn't maybe mesh with that.
Yeah, she wanted to do more smarter, deeper stuff.
Yeah.
Which
is
interesting.
I mean, it's good to have different people on the cast who do different types of comedy, but
yeah,
it's... Yeah, but they still had to gel as a unit.
That's very, very
true. But it's really interesting to think about the people who auditioned and didn't get it.
What
would John Goodman or Lisa Kudrow
or
Colbert or Steve Carell?
It would have been a whole different thing.
Or Jim Carrey.
Yeah, Carrey. How do you not pick up Carrey? That's insane. How do you not pick up Colbert? Colbert is an amazing, comedic... I remember... Do you ever see that one sketch show on Comedy Central called Essex 57?
I know of it. I don't think I watched much of it.
I don't. It's one of those sketches. I liked it a lot, but mm-hmm. I know a lot of people didn't really watch it. It was a sketch show called Exit 57. It was mid 90s.
Mm-hmm.
They did this
before Strangers with Candy.
Yeah, right? Yeah. The same people that did Strangers with Candy were on Exit 57 because that also had Paul Dinello and Amy Sedaris on it, and they're just doing sketches, and they were really good in the sketches. And then Paul Dinello and Colbert and Sedaris went on to do Strangers with Candy. And I think now Danilo mm-hmm. works with Colbert on The Late Show.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's nice when they have those long-standing friendships that go from show to show to show.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's very cool.
They're all still very friendly, and mm-hmm. they get along well. It's a beautiful thing. So who knows? If you don't get one thing, other roads and avenues open.
And it shows that if you don't get SNL or you don't become like a big hit on the show, that doesn't mean it's the end of the world.
That's very true.
You go on to other things.
Yeah, absolutely. Tiffany Haddish auditioned, didn't get it. Aubrey Plaza auditioned, didn't get it.
Jenny Slate was on very briefly.
Yeah, yeah.
She left after, I think, a season or two, and she's done very well. She did the movie The Obvious Child. And,
yeah, very much so.
It's nice to see like when people can bounce back from that.
Absolutely.
And keep going, and they find their niche elsewhere.
Yeah, that damn straight.
Yeah.
Darn tootin'. I should have said damn straight.
Darn tootin'.
Damn straight. That's more my adult version of darn tootin'.
Oh, okay.
My after hours.
I don't think we had any darn tootin's last week. So.
You're going to get more darn tootin's in the future. Just
see that you do.
Yes, sir.
See that you do. But
all right, and that's our podcast. That's it.
We're going to wrap it up.
We learned a lot.
We
taught me. I taught you.
I know. We both know a little more.
Look at that.
So
how about that? So that's our podcast, guys. Thanks again for listening. Please rate, review, subscribe, Stitcher, iTunes.
Wherever you listen to podcasts,
we're
on all of them.
Yeah, we're everywhere. We cover the gamut.
Rate us, subscribe to us, like us, validate us.
Yes, please, Lord, please.
Yeah.
On our find us on the website on nonproductive.com, non-productive.com. Check out all the other non-productive podcasts and shows, everything else they do. Amazing network. And hit us up on Twitter at SNL Nerds, hashtag SNL Nerds. We don't have a Twitter.
We don't have an official Twitter page,
but
I think somebody else has the SNL Nerds handle, if I remember correctly.
Son of a bitch.
I'd have to look on that. We should figure that out.
Yeah, we will.
But
we should, and we will. And follow me on Twitter at Darren Credible and Instagram Darin Credible, and my website.
Yes, I'm on Twitter at Trumbull Comic, and we're going to be back next week with an all new episode. New episode of SNL. At the time we're recording this, they have not announced who's going to be hosting yet.
Question mark?
We have no idea who we're going to be talking about.
Mystery guest.
Could it be somebody we talked about in this episode? We don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
We don't know.
We just don't know.
They won't tell us.
The anticipation is killing us.
They probably tweeted it tonight or had a promo. Like we're recording this with like the night of the Golden Globes,
right?
And they probably have like a commercial that's already aired on the Golden
Globes. As soon as you hit the stop button, they're gonna be like, "Oh, it's so."
Yeah, should we check our phones real
fast?
Yeah,
let's do it real quick.
Let's go.
If this will be a thrill. If they
I know. So let's see. I'm going to the SNL Twitter page.
Okay, I'll go to the Instagram page.
Okay,
Sarah Silverman.
Let's see.
No, it's not
Silverman. We got they tweeted something about the boom. Golden Globes, boom, roasted. So I guess Andy Samberg's showing the people what for. Yeah, they're just hosting.
Yeah.
They're just posting. Oh, and it was...
I mean, people are saying...
Kate McKinnon's birthday. Happy birthday, Kate McKinnon.
Hey!
Happy birthday. We love you.
Feliz cumpleaños.
We love you.
I mean, people are saying it might be Andy Samberg because he just hosted the Golden Globes, and it seems like they're pumping him up.
Well, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine just came to NBC.
Yeah, that's true, too. Synergy.
I enjoy that show.
So we still don't know.
There is nothing on the Twitter account. I've gone back to December 23rd.
Nada.
But in suspense. We don't know.
But if you follow us on Twitter and Instagram, you'll know when we know.
That's right. Because as soon as we see it, we're gonna retweet it and use our hashtag and try and get some of those
news
to us. But we'll be back. We'll be talking.
Yeah, we're this is petering out quickly.
This is.
But yeah, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.
Frank has just had enough of us at this point.
I know. I wouldn't put up with us.
I wouldn't. Yeah, yeah. I would have kicked us out a long time ago.
I know.
Just right on our ass.
We're awful.
We really are.